And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Eternal God, who art far above our highest thoughts, yet very near to us at this moment, we thank thee for the gift of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, and for the joy of fellowship with those who love and serve thee. In thy presence, we pray for all people who are bearing heavy burdens today, including the persons whom we mention in the silence of our hearts. Enable us by thy Spirit to take our places with those who seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness. Make us courageous prophets of thy purpose and trustworthy interpreters of thy word. And as the light of eternity falls upon our passing days, help us to be kind to one another and to walk humbly with thee. Amen. Here beginneth the first chapter of the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Here endeth the reading. And may the Spirit of God help us to understand, to believe, and to obey the message. One of the urgent tasks of the Christian ministry is clearly expressed in a statement which appears on the front page of each issue of Theology Today. The life of man in the light of God. We need a deeper knowledge of the life of man in the perspective of the sovereignty of God, who knows us as we are and who really cares for us. And the Christmas season provides an opportunity for contemplation. It is an appropriate time to meditate upon spiritual realities, to think about the centrality of Jesus Christ in faith and history, to ponder over the best clues to an understanding of the nature and destiny of man, to examine the life of man in the light of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. This kind of contemplation requires special equipment. In a penetrating essay on understanding and imagination, George Santayana reminds us that the resources of the mind are not commensurate with its ambition. The profounder minds, he says, are capable of feeling the greatness of the problems of life. But they also admit the inadequacy of understanding, and they recognize the noble role which imagination must play in the quest for the solution of each major issue. When we observe the life of man with understanding and imagination, and in the light of God as revealed in Jesus Christ, what do we see? We see, for one thing, that persons are hurt in this world. Let me mention four ways in which persons are hurt. In the first place, they are hurt by intergroup hostility and conflict, especially international and interracial hostilities and conflicts. We remember with sadness the enormous destructiveness of the Second World War. I remember, for example, sitting on the steps of Waite Hall on this campus with one of the most promising undergraduates I have ever known. In the late afternoon of the last day before the Christmas vacation in December 1943. He told me that his local draft board had rejected his appeal for permission to finish the semester, and that he would not be returning to college after Christmas. Several weeks later, he sent me a book and a letter from New York City, in which he stated that he had received his wings in the Air Force and was about ready to leave for stern duty overseas. And a few weeks later, his mother telephoned me to say that his plane had been shot down over Germany and he had been killed. He was hurt. His family was hurt. I think that the Church of the Living God was hurt. In the second place, persons are hurt by adverse interpersonal relations in the intimacy of primary groups. A man suffered a moderate heart attack, and contrary to the expectation of his physician, who talked with me about his patient, he did not recover. Why? His wife was an alcoholic. His 16-year-old unwed daughter was pregnant. A 15-year-old son had been arrested for driving an automobile without a license, and two little boys were uncared for at home. Everybody in that family was hurt by interpersonal incompetence. In the third place, persons are hurt by accident and disease. The advancement of medical science has extended the average lifespan in the 20th century. But catastrophic diseases and chronic illness are present in our society. And as we read again this year in the New York Times, the brief records of 100 neediest cases, we see the devastating effects and the terrible cost of sickness. And in the fourth place, persons are hurt by rebellion against God, by denying his existence, by refusing to open their hearts to his love, and by rejecting his gift of eternal life. Such persons have no adequate sense of life's meaning, no transforming fellowship with Christ, and no source of confidence and hope for the future. But this is not the whole story. When we look at life in the light of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, we see that persons are helped by the transforming power of grace and truth. We have never been able fully to understand nor completely to forget God's promise through Abraham to Israel. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Surely this means that God is not our enemy, but our friend. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God came in Jesus Christ to visit and to redeem his people. And he is creatively and redemptively at work in human society in our time, giving his grace to every heart that is open to receive it, and offering his wisdom to every humble and teachable mind. On every level of human need, people are helped and not hurt by the kind of compassion which Jesus manifested toward persons in distress. Matthew, Mark, and Luke repeatedly use a word which they apply only to Jesus. It is a Greek word which means to be deeply moved, to be touched to the core of the heart, to have compassion. And there cometh to him a leper, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And being moved with compassion, he stretched forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will. Be thou made clean. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were distressed and scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. Do we have this kind of compassion in our hearts? Do we have this kind of compassion for students? Do we have this kind of compassion for teachers? Do we have this kind of compassion for persons in the churches and outside of the churches who have been hurt in this world? This Christmas, we may have a vision of God in Christ that will bring us to our knees in adoration, confession, and commitment. And then to our feet for faithful, competent, daily work in the concrete social situations in which we live here and now. And a deeper knowledge of the life of man in the light of God will enable us to help and not to hurt the persons with whom we work. May the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. In the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who was made flesh and dwelt among us.